Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. George Collins, who died last week, started his career in journalism as a reporter at the Afro-American 64 years ago and rose to become its editor-in-chief. In 1968, he switched to broadcasting, joining WMAR-TV as an anchor. 20 years later, he started a public affairs show on WEAA, the NPR member station on the campus of Morgan State. Governor O'Malley yesterday called Collins, quote, a guardian of truth and justice, close quote. O'Malley's written statement said, in part, quote, George Collins embodied the best of journalism, offering insights and investigative reporting that changed the arc of history. George Collins exposed corruption, racism, and bigotry wherever he found it, reporting each of these stories with fairness and accuracy, end quote. Collins covered significant events in the civil rights movement, including the March on Washington and the funeral of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and closer to home, injustices in his community. Tom Hall spoke with Collins last October about the death in 1963 of Hattie Carroll, a 51-year-old African-American woman injured while working as a waitress at a Baltimore ball. Collins had covered that story of a guest at the party becoming impatient with Mrs. Carroll and striking her on the head with his cane. She died hours later. Collins told Tom,
and of course it was old hat to those of us who had watched the rise and fall and the hesitation and the violence associated with racism in the country. So we regarded it as a typical case of a white man abusing a black woman for no reason. Which over the years in this country, it had become a pattern.
George Collins was 88 when he died last week. His funeral will be tomorrow, 11 a.m., at New Shiloh Baptist Church on Monroe Street in Baltimore. A journalist who knew George Collins and worked with him is Charles Robinson, correspondent from Maryland Public Television, just back from chairing the National Association of Black Journalists Convention in Boston. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sheila.
How did you first meet George?
Well, actually, I was reading him because I was delivering the Afro-American newspapers. And, and my patrons would say, if you want to sell this paper, read the paper. So I was reading all those little excerpts. But I got to know him personally as I became a professional and moved back to Baltimore. And probably one of the more storied stories about George is his effort to kind of break the idea that Maryland was not going to be accommodating to blacks as far as allowing blacks in the restaurants. And black journalists are caught in a dual world. In other words, they're practicing journalism and they're also practicing activism. So George came up with this idea that maybe we can show the hypocrisy by posing as African potentates / diplomats.
Yeah, this was during the Kennedy administration in 1961, and the Kennedy administration was worried about black diplomats moving from Washington to the United Nations and not being treated well along U.S. Route 40 in Baltimore County and Harford County.
So the idea was real simple. George and a couple of his colleagues at the Afro said, well, let's see how it works and see if it really works. So they had found some African garb, but to make it work, they needed a limo. So they went to a local funeral home and asked, can we borrow the limo? And they could say, we're going to get a limo driver. We're going to make it look real. And of course, you know, they had all the prerequisite stuff and they walked in. And of course, the manager said, oh, please come have a seat, have dinner on it. And it was the Double T Diner that's on Route 40 and Rolling Road. And they sat there and had dinner and they got back in the car. And George said they had the biggest laugh, but they said, this is a much bigger story. And that begins to break down the laws in the state about not being able to serve blacks in restaurants.
And I think of it this week when there's all these dozens of heads of African heads of states in Washington and all these limousines and motorcade. And I think of George Collins. You interviewed him recently.
Yes, I did. It was on the during the dedication of the Martin Luther King Memorial in Washington, D.C. And what George told me about that was he said, Charles, people don't know that march was not really as popular as people thought it was. People thought people were going to burn down the city of Washington. All these blacks coming. They didn't even know whites were coming. But they knew we're going to have all these black folks coming to D.C. My God, shut the liquor stores. That was the first edict that came down. Because remember, there's no home rule in D.C. at this point. It's being run by Congress. And George, of course, got on a bus with patrons from here. In those days, you know, African-American of a certain age will remind you, your mama always gave you a chicken sandwich on a piece of white bread in a brown bag and a soda. That was your meal for the day.
Because
and,
you couldn't count on being able to buy.
You were not going to be able to go into a restaurant, and that was it. But let me also talk about George and his television career, because it kind of mirrors mine to a certain extent. You know, most people around in this city know you've seen African Americans on television. In fact, he and another guy by the name of Wiley Daniels kind of broke that color barrier in television here. But you can go around this country, and very few people will see people. I can tell you, I saw both of them and had the gumption to think, you know what? I can do this. And went to a school in the Capital Confederacy in Richmond, Virginia. And I had white professors look at me, why do you think you can do this? And that was what you need. And I always remind folk, you know, male, female, others, you emulate what you think is the best. And so people see you and they think, I think I can do this. And there's some young lady, young man somewhere who's listening to us and saying, you know what? I think I can do this. And that's really the great legacy of George Collins.
Wow. You mentioned, we have just a minute or so left, but you mentioned the sort of dual responsibility he had, reporting and being accurate, but also being activist.
Yeah. And
did he talk to you about that?
He said, you know, there's this guy named Moses Newsom, and they were on the roads going through the Deep South. The Afro would send their correspondents literally to cover the news wherever it was. And the thing is that when there's nobody there and you're there by yourself and you're facing, you know, people taunting you, calling you names, it changes your perspective. I mean, it really does, because you realize, of course, you become a part of the story, but you must try and stay objective. But you've got to kind of have that edge to say, not so much it's wrong, but explain why it's wrong. And I think that's part of the legacy of George Collins.
Part of what your generation learned from him.
Absolutely. I'm in the third generation of African-American journalists. He was kind of in the second. The first one was they found all these black journalists. They were writing for black newspapers. And when the riots happened here in 68, then they said, well, let's find some people on television. So they go look at the black newspapers. And that's where they got most of their reporters. And
that's where they got George Collins. I really appreciate your coming in
Charles. Thank you so very much for talking about my friend.
Thank you. Charles Robinson, correspondent for Maryland Public Television. George Collins' wake is this afternoon, 3 to 8 p.m. at Estep Brothers Funeral Services on Utah Place in Baltimore. Celebration service will take place tomorrow, 11 a.m. at the new Shiloh Baptist Church in West Baltimore. More information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning.